Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 61 this morning. If you have your Bible or your device, you can join us there. A homeless man down on his luck came upon an inn. The inn was known as St. George and the Dragon. Knocked on the door and a woman answered, "Could you give a poor man a little meal when he's down on his luck?" "No," she said, and she slammed the door. A few moments later, he knocked on the door again. She said, "Now what do you want?" "Might I have a word with George?" St. George and the Dragon, okay. Anyway, the core of the message today is God is watching. God is watching how we treat one another. God is watching how we live, what we do, how we respond to His kindness and to the trials of life. God is watching you. He is evaluating your behavior, and soon He will reward you according to what He's observed. So which do you resemble more, the dragon lady or a saint? Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 61. He said to Sariah, "When you get to Babylon, see that you read all these words aloud." Father, we humble ourselves before you, understanding that every breath, every day is a gift from God. We determine so little in our own life, and all that we have that is good has come from you. And we're praying that you will help us to use the gifts you give us, use each day well, to stop wasting, to stop frittering, but to be about the Father's business, seeking and saving that which is lost, strengthening what is weak, helping where we can. The time is short, and the work is great, and the call is wonderful. Help us to be about our Father's business. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, my children, and you shall hear the tale of two Sariahs, one with nothing to fear. He was brave and true, honest and kind, as good a friend as Jeremiah could find. The other was all wicked, dressed up in his robes, looking all important from his toes to his lobes. For a while both were free to come and to go, but judgment day came with a heavy blow. Sariah the good went on a mission for God. Sariah the bad they buried in the sod. The moral is quite simple for all to see. At times it's hard the Lord's servant to be, but in the end you'll be glad you served the right, because it's God that chooses your final plight. There was a staff officer who served King Zedekiah when Jeremiah was prophet in Jerusalem. His name was Sariah, son of Neriah. This is the only place you're going to find his name mentioned in all of the Bible. Yet I believe we see cameo appearances of him throughout the book of Jeremiah. He's not mentioned by name, but I'm sure that he's there. At the time of our verse, Jerusalem has been under siege for several years. That means that everyone in the city is starving. They're extremely hungry. A plague has already killed many of the people. They have died either of disease, of the plague, or of starvation. And the Babylonian army is ready to breach the walls. They are outside, they are pounding on the gates, and they're just about ready to break through. Now let's back up a couple of decades. Jeremiah has been telling the people, if we don't repent of our sin, if we don't get right with God, God is going to destroy our land. He's been telling them about it, and now it's happening. During those earlier years, when Jeremiah was ministering to the people, most people ignored Jeremiah. How many understand that you will not find the will of God by taking a Gallup poll? You will not find the will of God by finding what is popular among society. We cannot vote Supreme Court. Cannot decide what God's will is. You will not find out by popular opinion what God is up to. And when you preach the gospel, when you live for Christ, although it is so precious to you, although it is the very epicenter of your life, the bedrock of who you are, they will laugh, they will slough it off, they will ignore, they will pass it off. And that was Jeremiah's experience as he preached to these people. But some took him quite seriously. They saw him as a threat to the way they wanted to live. They didn't want to hear him calling sin by its first name. They didn't want him calling the people to a higher lifestyle. And so they persecuted the man. At first, it started out pretty light. They decried him publicly. And then after a while, they took his credentials off of him. And finally, they began to get a little bit more serious in their persecution, labeling him as a heretic. But there were a few good people scattered about. And they stood with Jeremiah. They didn't have his voice. They didn't have his eloquence. They didn't have his call. They weren't called to stand up and shout out to the public, but they stood with him. They stood beside him. And as others tore him down, they were a support. And there was a time when God inspired Jeremiah to write on a scroll all of these prophecies that he had been given to the people. God said perhaps if they heard it all at once, they would really be shocked and they would turn to God. So Jeremiah wrote out on a scroll all the prophecies that he had been given, but he knew he was in trouble with some of the powers that be. So he said to his good buddy Baruch, would you take this scroll and read it out in public? And so Baruch dutifully did. He unrolled it and he began to preach to the people who were there at the temple site. And one of the people that heard what he was saying was a man by the name of Micaiah. And Micaiah, when he heard the words, it gripped his heart. Micaiah worked for the king. He knew the king was pretty wicked, but he also knew that this word was true. So he invited Baruch to come in, and he gathered other staff officers around him. And he said, guys, we need to listen to this. And as they heard the words that Baruch was reading, two things came from them. The first is, the king needs to hear this. The king ain't going to want to hear this, but the king needs to hear this. This is very, very important. Second thing they said was, Baruch, get Jeremiah and hide, because when the king hears this, he's going to be looking for you guys. Now, if it goes well and his heart melts, we'll let you know. But we're afraid for you. Can you imagine how beautiful those words were to men who had been persecuted all their lives for ministering in Christ's name, in God's name? Here's a fellow who stands up and says, you go hide. You take care of yourself for a moment. We will take it to the king. These are some brave guys. Now, Sariah, son of Neriah, isn't named among those staff officers, but I'm pretty sure he was there. He was one of the guys that took that scroll and took it before the king and said, O king, live forever, but here's something that you need to see. Sariah was affected by God's word and fearful for the prophet's safety. Well, in time, the persecution against Jeremiah increased. They threw him in a dungeon where it was so stark, it was so dank, it was so terrible, that he was sure that if he stayed there any longer, he was just going to die. If Jerusalem was starving, imagine how much food trickled down to the dungeon. He thought he was dying. He called out to God. And some evil characters went to the king and they said, you know that Jeremiah bothers us. How could Jeremiah bother them? He's in the dungeon. We can't stand this character. We need to do something with him. And the king said, okay, yeah, whatever. So they took Jeremiah out of the dungeon. Imagine you're in the dungeon and you're praying, oh God, I'm not going to last much longer. Oh good, they're coming. They're getting me out of the dungeon. You can hear the keys rattle. The door swings open. Ooh, fresh air, hallelujah. They threw him in a cistern. He stuck in the mud. He tries to struggle to get free, but as he does, he just sinks deeper and deeper into the mud. Look at this poor guy. He's nothing but skin and bones. And now he's in the mud. Good one, God. I wanted out of the dungeon. I should have been more specific. Here he is, just stuck in the mud. And now he's sure the end is very near. But another fellow stepped up to the plate. His name was Ebed-Melech. Wasn't even an Israelite. He was a Cushite. And he says to the king, King, they've done terrible things to the prophet Jeremiah. He's a good man. He never did anything to deserve this. We need to do something. And the king said, all right, yeah, whatever. Take 30 guys and go get them out of the well. Does it take 30 men to get a skinny little skeleton out of the well? Well, no. But he knew that there were a bunch of angry people who didn't want him out of the well. So there might be trouble. He's not mentioned by name, but I believe one of the 30 was Sariah, son of Neriah. They took a rope, they took some clothes, some old rags, they threw them down to the fella. They said, Jeremiah, pad your armpits with the clothes and then put the ropes in and we're going to pull you up. I'm sure that they were scared they were going to pull up half of a Jeremiah instead of a whole one. But they were gentle as they could be and slow but sure, out popped the prophet. And there he was. Fast forward now, back to the time of our text. The Babylonians are pounding the gates. They're about to take the city. Sariah, son of Neriah, is standing by Jeremiah. And Jeremiah hands him a scroll. And he says, when you get to Babylon, I want you to read this out loud, tie a stone to it, and drop it into the Euphrates River. So what's he doing? He's telling Sariah, you will live and not die. The Babylonians are going to bust through that wall any second now, but don't be afraid. Here's your ticket. You take this scroll and you read it over the Euphrates River. With that, Jeremiah gave to Sariah a hope, a mission, and a future. Because Sariah stood with Jeremiah when it was unpopular to be a godly man, he was given a ticket to freedom when others were about to meet their end. Several months later, we find Sariah standing on a bridge over the river Euphrates. He unrolls this scroll. He reads as loud as he can this message on this scroll. And it says, God will call Babylon to account for what she has done to Israel. She will be utterly destroyed. He rolls it back up and he ties his rock to it and plop into the river. And this man knows more than anybody else exactly what was on that scroll was going to come true. He was living proof that God honors his word. When everybody else around him was killed, this character was taken as a captive and was preserved as an exile. And he lived in order to set up a household and a family. Now catch this. This is very important. One day, Sariah's descendants would make the journey home and help rebuild Jerusalem. A hope and a future. When other exiles were settling in and just becoming part of the culture, Sariah would tell his children and his grandchildren, sons and daughters, you listen to me. One day God is calling us home. Don't stay in Babylon. God is going to call her to account just like he called Jerusalem to account. You go. When that trumpet calls, when they list and they allow you to go back home, you go. You be part of that contingency. Because he served God during a difficult time. God gave him a future during a good time. And his children and his children's children would live. And they would prosper. And they would grow. And they would become part of the plan of God. because he stood during the difficult times. You and I are being given an opportunity, my friends, to stand for Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that if we will stand for him, he will stand for us. But if we deny we know him, he'll deny us before his Father in heaven. When hard times come, we should embrace them as our opportunity to stand, to join those like Sariah, son of Neriah, and gain a better future, a better hope, a better home. Now, but I said that this sermon was about two Sariahs. The other was Sariah, the chief priest. He was the man in charge of all things religious in Jerusalem. He decided what prophecies were from God and which ones the people ought to ignore. He credentialed both priests and prophets. He was very powerful, and he was very corrupt. He was a wolf in sheep's clothes, a villain in priestly robes. This Sariah hated and persecuted Jeremiah. This Sariah publicly defamed the prophet and lobbied for his ever mistreatment. He's the one that said, put him in the dungeon. He's the one that inspired him, throw him in the well. He's the one that said, put him in chains. He doesn't deserve to be free. While Jeremiah starved, Sariah feasted. Well, Jeremiah sat in chains. Sariah, the chief priest, walked around free, flirting with the servant girls. While Sariah laughed, Jeremiah wept. Now, let me ask you, looking at this chart here, let's say you didn't have any of this background to you, which is the godly man? Sariah or Jeremiah, which is blessed of God? Well, which one looks more blessed to you? The one that's a little chubby and having a good time? Or the gentleman that's no more than skin on bone? I hate to tell you this, but there are times, there are seasons when the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer. I know that we had a prolonged time in the church when we preached just the opposite, that, you know, confess it, possess it, and, you know, you're king's kids and nothing but the best and all of this and that. Have you considered Jeremiah, a very godly man, spending time in the dungeon while Sariah laughed and cackled and mocked his every word? There are days when justice is turned upside down. Evil is rewarded and good is punished. I don't know if I want to be part of this or not, but I guess I am. Last year there was a big to-do made over Starbucks, you know, holiday cups because they no longer said Merry Christmas, they were just a red cup. And nobody really made a fuss over it, but they made a fuss over people who would make a fuss over such a thing as being, you know. I don't know if you happen to catch the Starbucks commercial that they've been running. They have Santa Claus, and he goes into a Starbucks and he gets himself a cup of coffee. Have you noticed what he says to everybody? He says, Happy Holidays to everybody. He's Santa Claus, and he's saying Happy Holidays to everybody. It just caught me as a little bit odd there that... What holiday is he supposed to be associated with? Yeah, just happy holidays. And, you know, the erosion that goes on here is quite amazing. And then we had some friends yesterday at the North Hanover Mall. We're handing out some literature and just praying for people as they came along. And sure enough, if somebody didn't make a fuss about it, you can hand out that kind of literature. Boy, imagine talking about Jesus during Christmas time. Can you think of anything more dastardly that people could be involved in? It doesn't seem that the retailers minded it being Christmas at all. Just don't tell anybody what it's all about. So let me read that last line from my message again. There are days when justice is turned upside down, evil is rewarded, and good is punished. But back to our text. The Babylonians are at the walls. Jerry is chained to a pillar in the courtyard of the palace. Beside him stands Sariah the Good with a little scroll in his hand. Over in the temple is Sariah the chief priest. He's got the best soldiers that are left alive, and they barred the gates of the temple. That is the last stronghold. They've got the best of the best, and these men will defend Sariah to their death. He's as secure as man could make another man. Jeremiah 52, starting with verse 24. The commander of the guard took as prisoners Sariah the chief priest, Zephaniah the priest next in rank, and the three doorkeepers. Of those still in the city, he took the officer in charge of the fighting men and seven royal advisors. He also took the secretary, who was chief officer in charge of conscripting the people of the land, 60 of whom were found in the city. Nebuzaradan, the commander, took them all and brought them to the king of Babylon at Riblah. There at Riblah, in the land of Hamath, the king had them exalted to high positions in his kingdom, where they sat fat and happy the rest of their lives. Well, actually, he had them executed. I'm sure that Sariah, the chief priest, told him all of his credentials and talked about all of the good things he'd ever done and how important he was to God. He's a chief priest after all. If you read a little further, you'll learn that of the millions of people who used to live in the land of Palestine who were Jews, only 4,600 of them survived to become exiles in Babylon. Often Israel boasted a million-plus man army. So we're talking a general population easily 4,600,000, let's say. And 1% of the population survived this invasion into their land. 4,600. Of those 4,600, only 745 survived this final siege. Most of those 4,600 were taken captive earlier by Babylon when things were still pretty good. Now there were just a few survivors. Any guess at what the name of one of those survivors was? Sariah, son of Neriah. Friends, for all you do for yourself, you'll probably try a new diet in the new year. You've got a 401k looking forward to retirement. You go to your doctor for a checkup. You go to your dentist. Whatever you do for yourself, there's absolutely nothing you could do that is more important than serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Sariah, son of Neriah, it was not popular. It was not comfortable. It made him squirm in his position under the king many times. But because he served Jesus Christ, he sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, God gave him a life, a hope, a future, and eternity. Sariah the chief priest was not one of these survivors. God is watching. God is watching how we treat one another. God is watching how we live, what we do, how we respond to his kindness and to the trials of life. God is watching you. He's evaluating your behavior, and soon he will reward you according to what he has observed. My question this morning is, which Sariah are you? Are you Sariah the Good? And though the guys at work hassle you about it, they know that you are a born-again believer. You are a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or are you Sariah the Comfortable? And you make your choices and you do your decisions according to how it will feather your own nest. Only Jesus Christ can make a sinner clean. Going to church, gaining a title, dressing the part makes no one a Christian. I'm glad you're here this morning. Thank you for joining us in service. Thank you for being part of our church. This doesn't determine if you're a Christian or not. This doesn't determine whether you're a Christian or not. Amen? It's when we're out there, when the storm hits, when it's unpopular, when they're laughing, when they're ridiculing. Are you ready to make your stand? Are you ready to be counted among those who are counted in the name of the Lord? That's where the test for this message will come. We're going to sing a chorus as we close this morning. A prayer, really. And I hope it's your prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and restore a right spirit within me. Maybe like me, you have blown a few chances you have had to stand for Christ. Maybe you knew you should have said something, but you didn't. Maybe you shouldn't have gone along with it, but you did. Today's a brand new day. Hallelujah. God forgives, God restores, God anoints. Let's ask our God to create in us a clean heart, a right spirit. I want to be a Sariah the Good. How about you? Would you stand with me this morning?